Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're broadcasting this week from the Etymology Lab here at Car Talk.
We're going to talk about bugs? I don't know who sent this. Yes, I do. Eric Scheinberg, perhaps? Yeah.
Sure.
The Washington Post style invitational asked readers to take any word from the dictionary and alter it by adding, subtracting, or changing one letter, and then supply a new definition. And then they gave prizes, of course. And I have a few here that I'd like to share with you.
Go ahead. I'm sure they're going to be beauties.
Well, here's the first one. Sarcasm, but it's spelled S-A-R-C-H-A-S-M, sarcasm.
I like it.
And it is the gulf between the author of sarcastic wit and the reader who doesn't get it.
Cool. Huh? I like that.
That's just to warm you up.
Yeah.
Here's another one. I'll tell you the word. You tell me what it means. Reincarnation.
Reincarnation.
Yeah.
I give up.
When you die and come back to life as a hillbilly. Huh? That's not bad. Here's another one. Some of these I can't repeat, but the Doppler effect, D-O-P-E-L-E-R.
Okay, I'll cry uncle on that one, too.
The tendency of stupid ideas to seem smarter if they come at you rapidly.
I like that.
And there's another one, which I'll just leave it up to you. Ignoranus.
Needs no definition.
needs no further discussion. But clever. I love it.
If you'd like to talk to us about your car or anything else for that matter, our number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Tammy calling from Bakersfield, California.
Hi, Tammy. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm so excited to be on your show.
And we're so excited to talk to you.
Bakersfield is where Perry Mason used to send Paul Drake. All the time. He'd taken a big lung full of air. Paul, I need you to go to Bakersfield. I don't know what the heck was in Bakersfield. I've been there, and there ain't much going on.
Wait. Tammy is not old enough to even know who you're talking about.
Oh, no. I used to watch Perry Mason when I was a kid.
Yeah.
A kid.
Yeah, well, Tommy was watching him when he was in his 40s.
You only sound about 20 now.
Anyway, right. What's going
That's
on,
beside
Tammy?
The point.
All right, guys. Now, this is going to be something that is just going to freak you out, I think.
But, go ahead.
My boyfriend has a 1992 Buick Roadmaster.
Uh-huh.
The Ride.
The Ride. We call them Buick Road Monsters.
Yeah. Now, what happens is this car will be sitting in the driveway, not moving.
Oh.
And it will growl at you. It goes, I'm not kidding. It's not on. And I'll walk up to it and it will go. I cannot figure out what this is.
You know, now, it's funny because Buicks have done that for a long time.
They have. Growling Buick.
I'm thinking it has some unresolved territorial issues. It doesn't like me in the driveway.
Ah.
Well, it might be growling when dogs come by, because dogs famously pee on car wheels. You know, so it might have some kind of a sensor. A dog comes by and it does a... I bet there's not a dog in the neighborhood that comes near your car.
But this car is scaring the neighbors.
Oh,
they hear it, too.
And how long does the growl last? Like 15, 20 seconds, 30 seconds?
Yes.
Yeah.
Last night, I replicated the problem.
Oh.
I went out, and I opened the door. I sat in the driver's seat, put the key in the ignition, just touched the key to the ignition, and then I stood up real fast, and it stopped.
Right.
And then it was coming from under the left, in the vicinity of the left rear wheel.
The left.
Boy, now see, you have done a lot of homework. Most people would just call us and tell us, I hear this funny noise, I don't know where it's coming from, I don't know what it is.
And they'd leave us the twist in the wind. But not you, Tammy.
Boy, that is beautiful.
Well,
we want callers like this every week.
Yeah, we did, except it's unfortunately the last little. How confident are you that the noise is coming from the left rear?
That's the only thing I didn't like.
Yeah.
That is the best location I can determine, because as soon as I stand up, it stops.
Okay, I think it's coming from the left front, actually.
Okay.
Here's what I think is wrong. This car probably has an air suspension system. Okay,
oh, yeah.
Which can level the car when you put weight in it.
Uh-oh, okay. I need to lose weight.
Well, it may be. I was trying to figure out how to delicately ask you what you weigh. Yeah.
Well, she weighs 210, but she's 7 feet tall.
Actually, I'm almost 6 feet tall.
You are?
Yes.
Well, this car has sensors which tell this system to come on. And it can come on anytime and level the car. So if there's a leak in the system and the suspension in the rear starts to go down, in other words, the rear bumper is getting too close to the ground, it'll turn on this pump, which is under the hood. And
exactly it.
Yeah, I'm assuming the pump is in front. I could be wrong about that, in which case, it could be coming from the back. But I'm 90% sure that the pump is in the front.
It is the pump. There's no question about that.
Yeah, and you can replicate this even better by opening up the hood, maybe, and having your boyfriend sit in the trunk. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or bounce on the bumper or some such thing.
Okay.
You know, and you should be. So it doesn't mean there's anything necessarily wrong with it, but if the system is leaking down too fast, then the pump will come on more than it should. I mean, ideally, the pump's not going to come on at all unless you put weight in the car.
If it's happening without anyone in the car or anyone even near the car, then it probably has a little teeny leak in it somewhere.
I see.
Yeah, but I would think that's what it is. But on the other hand, if it's keeping the dogs away, you may want to leave it.
The next door neighbor said to me, "Does that car have gas?" He wasn't talking about ethanol.
He wasn't. No.
Well, that may be it.
Tammy, we wish you the very best.
Well, thanks, guys.
All right. See you later.
Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Christine from Amherst.
Hi, Christine.
Christine
Hi.
With a C-H?
Yeah, with a C-H.
Christine with a C-H, not K's.
No K.
Or Q.
I like K-R-I-S-T-E-E-N. I like that spelling.
That's good, yeah. Well, that's the neo-Norwegian spelling.
So what's up, Christine?
Are you a student or a professor or anything like that?
I'm a grad student.
Grad student. In what department?
Hotel restaurant management.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
What's the nature of your call?
I have an 87 Mazda 626 turbo, and whenever I turn on the heat, it smells like maple syrup. And it's a little embarrassing.
Jeez, well, I never heard it described as maple syrup.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It is rather maple syrupy in aroma. Yeah.
On good days, it smells like maple syrup.
Yeah.
It's a little sweeter than
maple syrup as a smell, I would have said. And I got a bigger nose than you, I guarantee you that.
That's for sure.
Yeah. What's happening is antifreeze. Antifreeze, which smells like maple syrup, is getting out of its cage. See, we have to keep antifreeze caged.
Okay.
So we keep it in a place that it can't escape from, except that sometimes it escapes because little holes occur.
Huh.
And in your case, it's occurring in the heater.
Okay.
Mm. That's bad. Mm. That's real bad.
It is.
Yeah, well, it's...
How long has it been happening?
At least a couple of years.
Couple of years?
Well, I put it...
You're
on
right on top of things, huh?
Well, she's a student.
She's a student, yeah.
And you've been replenishing the antifreeze, obviously.
Yep.
Because you realize that that's what's leaking out. And you knew even before you called us that the sweet smell was probably the antifreeze that you've been losing all these years.
Okay, well, you're giving me a little more credit, but sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, you thought the two things were unrelated.
Yeah.
Well, it's good that you've been replacing it, because I was going to say that in 2 years you've got to be out of antifreeze by now. But you've been replacing it, so that's good.
Okay.
And if you don't mind the smell and you don't mind keeping up with the filling up of the antifreeze, forget it.
I hate to rain on my brother's parade,
yeah,
but I think the antifreeze is poisonous.
Oh.
And I don't think. I know it's poisonous, and I don't think it's a good idea to be... It may make you...
Have your grades been dropping?
It may make you immune to it, now that I think of it.
Ah. Really?
You know, like the ancient kings used to take a little bit of poison. little bit of arsenic every day, so that when they when their subjects gave them the lethal dose, they'd say, ha! It didn't work. So it may be that you're building up some kind of an immunity to this poison, but it's unlikely.
Okay.
But it's more likely that you are probably being poisoned little by little and losing maybe hundreds of millions of brain cells a day as a result of this.
Yeah.
Well,
and pretty soon,
you'll have to be an art history major.
Ah, yes.
Right, have you considered paleontology? Well, yeah. Anyway, I would...
No, this is not good.
You can try a stop leak compound, but my guess is you're going to need a new heater core, which is going to be a few hundred bucks.
Okay.
And so, you need to have that replaced, and I would probably do it.
You would?
Because, you know, otherwise...
Yeah, it's not good to have that leaking in your brain.
And you won't have much of a career in hotel, motel management if you have the drool. Because that's what happens when you
yeah. I mean, when you come up and say, hi, my name is Christine. I'll be your maitre d' for tonight. Hey, hi, 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 hi. That doesn't work.
So get it fixed before you start getting the drool.
Okay.
See you, Christine.
Thank you.
Bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Peter from Minneapolis.
Hey, Peter, what's going on?
Well, I got a little vermin problem with my wife's car.
Really?
She is a teacher, and she teaches 4th, 5th grade in Minneapolis. And
I can see it now. They had white mice as pets.
Close. It's a black and white hamster. Looks like a little cow.
Like a little, really little.
But I've only seen parts of it because she bought it on Sunday, and it busted out of its little box while she's driving home. Jumped
really?
Up her leg, bit her, and then disappeared up the steering column behind the Speedo cluster.
Bit her?
And it's been living there.
No, but did she go to a doctor?
No, I guess it didn't break the skin. She's tougher than that.
Oh.
Thick-skinned.
So what we're trying to figure out is, you know, she thinks that we should just leave it there and deal with it after it meets its cold, lonely demise here in Minnesota.
Yeah, because she hates this thing now, right? Here she
well,
was
no,
just...
She doesn't, well, she doesn't. She has a love-hate relationship. I kept saying, leave the door open, it'll go away. And she said, no, then it'll be eaten by cats or something.
Well,
so I said, let's take it into the shop and have somebody take the thing apart and get it out of there.
Well, I would just get myself a little dish and put some food in it.
You need to have a heart trap.
Yeah,
we have a live trap in the car. And our neighbor came up with another plan where you take a big, tall, slippery can and you put some smelly cheese down in the bottom and the hamster gets in there and can't get out.
Sure. Well, I'll tell you, if you came into our shop with this car, six guys would immediately pile into the bathroom.
Nobody wants to have anything to do with
this. Nobody would want to have anything to do with this whatsoever. Exactly. So I think.
How big is a hamster?
A hamster's a little bigger than your fist, right?
It's about the fist size. I'd say like a small potato.
Yeah.
It comes out at night and it does its business on the carpet, and then it goes in again.
Well, it's just doing its business, but it ain't coming out necessarily. It's just falling onto the carpet.
It's actually getting out because we had food down there leading up to the live trap.
Oh, you did?
Oh.
It ate all that food, but it didn't go in the trap.
Well, he's a smart hamster.
So the question is, I started pulling the dash apart, and of course I broke a bit of the piece where the air vent, it's a 98 Acura.
Well, first of all, if you do manage to uncover him, he's going to probably bite you.
That's true.
Yeah, so I don't think you want to run the risk of being bitten. I think the best thing to do
you need a trap.
Is set up a trap.
But now the car smells like hamsters and
droppings.
And smelly cheese.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, well, you're going to have to sell the car after this. But you get a bunch of those pine tree air fresheners, and you can kill almost any smell.
Yeah, no, you'll take care of the smell once you get rid of that little...
Yeah.
Saying just don't try and take the car apart?
Right. I wouldn't try to lure him out with just cheese. I'd put on like a 3 or 4 course meal. I mean,
we were thinking of maybe getting a lady hamster, but then my wife said, well, we don't know what he is. So
you don't know what he is.
One of each sex.
Yeah. Right. Oh, then you'll have forget it.
No.
Then it'll be like a commune in there, man. They'll be smoking dope and everything. You don't know what it's going to happen.
And you'll have 20 hamsters in a week.
I think a trap, but maybe some better lure.
Yeah, you need something to lure it out at night, and you'll have it in a little box the next morning, and the story's over.
Story's over. And if not, what about the aroma of a expired hamster?
Oh, no, you can't have him die in there.
No, you don't want to.
You've got to get him out. Whatever it takes. And if one piece of cheese doesn't do it, go for the four-course meal.
The four-course dinner. You know what? I have no idea what hamsters eat, but I'll leave that up to her.
Yeah.
He's going to eat so much if you don't get him right away. He's going to eat so much and he's going to get so fat that he won't be able to get out.
Well, that's what I'm worried about, yeah.
Yeah. You got a problem here. I can see that. Well, good luck, Peter.
Thank you very much.
Take care.
Right.
Bye-bye. Okay, Tommy, look, it's time to shock your brain into remembering last week's puzzler.
All right, but can we use a little less electrical current than we did last week? My ears are still, like, smoldering.
Well, here's your first puzzler hint. A motorized two-wheel vehicle is called a what?
My car on an average day.
well, yeah, yes. But I was looking for motorcycle. Okay, try this one. Look, back in the 60s, you had a fight with the Hell's Angels over a blank.
I had a broad.
Yeah, a broad. That's right. It's an overseas puzzler about a motorcycle, and we'll have the answer in just a minute.
This old car, she's like a song. She makes me. This old car, she likes a song. She makes music as she rolls along. It don't matter if the radio's on, 'cause this old car likes a song. All right.
And even though Pablo Sandoval throws his radio into San Francisco Bay whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR.
Hey, if you'd like to hear more car talk.
Yeah, like if your cable box broke and you can't watch anything other than C-SPAN.
You can download hundreds of classic car talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly.
<you know.
laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says, listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the answer to last week's puzzler. Now, this puzzler came from an email that someone sent us, but
you lost it.
Anyway, some years ago, he says, I was in the service stationed overseas in Europe. And while I was there, I decided it would be fun to buy myself a motorcycle, especially considering that Uncle Sam would probably ship it back home for...
Yeah, for cheap.
You sneak it in with your underwear. So while I was at the motorcycle shop conducting the transaction, this fellow, recognizing that I was a serviceman, said, you're going to ship this thing back to the States when your tour of duty is over? I said, yeah, in fact, I am. He says, well, there's something you'll have to change before you can drive this thing in America. And I said, oh, really? Well, can I buy this thing from you? He says, no, I don't have one. But you'll certainly have no trouble getting one when you get it back home. And the question is, what did I have to change on this bike before it would be legal to drive in America?
Legal?
Legal.
It would be legal to drive in America.
Yeah. And the answer is...
This is either going to be brilliant or bogus. Yeah.
I happen to have...
I have to say, I have been thinking about this.
That's always dangerous.
That's dangerous.
It's as luck would have it. I read this email ages ago.
Yeah.
And a friend of ours, Mark Nichols, has a buddy, Hayden, who's from England and bought his motorcycle there, just like this guy did.
Well, I have already narrowed it down
to England.
He didn't
buy it in Germany or France.
I already knew that.
He buys his motorcycle in England. And,
he had to buy a different mirror.
No, you're close.
Not a different mirror.
No, and I asked him, did you have to change the headlight? And he says, yes, in fact, I did. Because the Brits drive on the left-hand side of the road, the reflector in the headlight is aimed to the left.
Oh.
So that if you're driving straight down the road and traffic is coming toward you and you're driving now straight down the road in America,
your headlight will
be blinding people as they approach you. Because the reflectors in American headlights aim the beam slightly to the right. right-hand driving.
Wow. See, well, I didn't know that.
Well.
I didn't. I decided it had to be the mirror and it had to be England, but then I didn't like that answer because there are plenty of motorcycles.
And you were ready to pounce on me. I could see the ball just forming on your lips.
It was, but I... No, this is fine.
Even though it may be bogus, you're not sure. Anyway, we have a winner.
Yeah, we do. The winner is Alan Marks from Decatur, Georgia. And for having his answer selected at random from the pile of correct answers that we got, Alan is going to get a $26 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division at CarTalk.com, with which he can get our CD collection called Car Talk Cartoons, the Car Talk Compendium of disrespectful car songs. They're not all disrespectful.
There are actual songs in this CD,
right? There are actual songs, yeah. And we discovered this is a great album to have in an emergency. Like when Dougie was waiting for that tow truck to pull him out of the creek in his rental car in California there, he popped in the CD and played It's a Rental, which includes the words, "There's something about a rental that feels so appealing. It may be a Yugo, but you go freewheeling." And he drove that baby right into the water.
Did he send a copy of the CD to the lawyers at Hertz? It was Hertz he rented the car from, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
And what happened? He actually drove into a creek?
He just drove right
into... But when
into...
he returned the car, he didn't
said,
tell them.
He said to his wife just before he did it, "Hey, watch this." But he didn't send a copy to the lawyers. He doesn't think they're quite ready to laugh about the whole thing yet.
Anyway, we'll have a brand new puzzler coming up in the third half of the show, so stick around for that. But right now, if you have a question or anything else you want to talk about, the number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Or 888-BARBECUE-YOU-ALL. Hello,
no,
you're...
Is that true? No,
well,
it could be, man.
Yeah,
it is true.
I think it is, yeah, because the C and the A are the same as BB, yeah. BBQ, you all. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Travis from Salt Lake City. How are you guys doing?
Oh, great,
good.
Travis.
Good, how you doing?
Oh, fantastic. Other than my 1983 Toyota Land Cruiser. 83, yeah, the old wagon style.
Yeah. Well, anything could be wrong with this, so we're going to have fun now. I don't care what your problem is. We'll have three answers for you.
Last summer, it started running really super hot. So I started doing what I know personally to, I guess, help the situation. I first replaced the thermostat. It still ran hot. Mm. Radiator still ran hot. Had it the manifold flushed.
When you say radiator, you replaced the radiator?
Yeah, I replaced it. And I tell you what, I haven't driven it in the last couple months simply because I can peek out the blinds of my house, and if it sees me looking at it, it'll start overheating at that point.
And when it overheats, does it actually boil over and go cuckoo and...
Yeah, it does. It does.
Cool.
It really, I mean, it fully overheats. I mean,
and the needle goes all the way to the end.
Yeah, yeah, it does.
But did this happen, like, one day it was running fine, and the next day it was overheating to the top of the gauge?
Well, I think over time it seemed to start running a little hotter, a little hotter, a little hotter, and then, you know, when summer came on, now that it's 40 degrees here right now, maybe that'll help it.
Oh, you can drive it any place you want now.
Yeah. And you've replaced now the radiator, thermostat.
Yep.
And that's it.
And that's it.
That's it.
You never changed the coolant.
Yeah, I originally, when I first got the vehicle, I believe I changed the fluid in it then, actually. In fact, I'm positive.
How's the heat in the winter? Is it like killer heat, great heat?
It's good heat. I wouldn't say it's killer heat, but it's good.
All right. Well, I have two theories.
Two?
Yeah. One of them's going to cost you...
I told him we'd have three.
I have two. Can I count on you for one?
Mine might be one of yours.
I have two. One's going to cost you a lot of money, and one's going to cost you a lot more money.
Yeah.
Yeah. Excellent.
And one's going to cost you more money.
Actually, I have three.
Well, that's three, I guess.
I'll give you one. The one in cheap possibility, you may have done this already, is that you could have a faulty radiator cap. If the radiator cap is not doing its job, it'll cause the thing to boil over because it can't allow pressure to build up inside the cooling system. It's supposed to go up to like 16 PSI.
Uh-huh.
And if it won't hold 16 PSI, the thing will begin to boil. You know, as you raise the pressure, in the cooling system, you also raise the boiling point.
Right.
So if you're lucky, it's going to cost you $11.
No, that was my okay. That was my second idea.
All right.
No, my brother's second idea was my first idea.
Well, because you said you have lousy heat, I'm suspecting that you either have crud in the system that you didn't get out with flushing it, and you may have to go and have that done a few more times, or you have what I really feel in my heart of hearts is wrong with it.
Yeah.
You have a worn-out water pump.
Worn-out water pump.
Yeah, the impeller is rusted away, and it can't pump the coolant around fast enough to keep the engine cool. It's just a feeling.
Well,
it's a gut feeling.
We had to have three. This would be a distant third. A distant third, in my humble opinion.
That's the water pump is the distant third.
I think so.
Well, before you do the water pump, I would have somebody reverse flush it.
Yeah, what you want to do is you want to go down to the local parts store, and you want to buy some heavy duty.
Yeah, no, don't do that. They don't sell the good stuff anymore. We have a stash of the good stuff. No, the stuff for environmental reasons, they don't sell the really good stuff anymore. The oxalic acid to the general public.
Maybe I can meet you guys out behind the station.
We could meet you all behind the station.
We're selling air conditioners too. but you can go to a place, to a repair shop, and have the thing flushed out with a machine that will introduce a solvent and break up some of the stuff that's in there. And if they flush it out, it may solve your problem. If it doesn't and the radiator cap doesn't do it, then I'd go and seriously think about doing the water pump.
I thought about just replacing the gauge. And
if it's really boiling over, then you gotta fix it.
Yeah.
You know? I haven't got to the point where it's been, at least I think so, too hot to where it has caused any major damage.
All right, let me ask a question.
Okay.
What about if you took the water pump out? Would you take that someplace, or would you do that yourself?
I could do that myself.
You
I've
could do that
the water
yourself.
Pump.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not too bad on that.
Yeah, and it's not hard at all.
No, and if it looks good, you can just buy a new gasket for $1 and put it back on.
Right.
You know, and then you can... And then,
and
you
then
can,
you'll know exactly what it is.
Right, and then you can go and address the cracked block.
Oof.
Which is the worst case scenario.
That's
Travis,
no, that's not number three, right?
That's number four.
Like number 10. Oh.
Yeah, well, that was number three until I thought of the radiator cap. But the cracked block is certainly the, as you can imagine, the most expensive possibility.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
But hope that isn't it. Go for the radiator cap. Do the water pump if you have to. Get a good flush. We could all use one. And hope for the best.
Excellent. That sounds good.
All right. See you later, man.
Thanks so much, guys.
I'm hoping for the radiator cap.
Well, I am too. But
that would be the nicest thing.
But
that
Travis
could
sounds like he could take the disappointment of it being something like the cracked engine
block, and he's looking forward to taking out that water pump. I know he is.
Oh, he's getting the wrenches out now. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Charlotte in New Mexico, Fair Acres, New Mexico.
Hi, Charlotte.
Where in New Mexico?
Well, it's Fair Acres. It's near Las Cruces, which is in southwestern New Mexico.
That's right near the Alabama border, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, you're right. That's
I know my geography.
geology.
my bryology. I'm a marine bryologist. So Charlotte, what's up?
Well, we need help with a problem here. We need some advice from you.
Yeah.
My husband and I decided to liven up our dull middle age, and we looked at a number of options and finally decided that adopting four little kids was just the ticket.
Really?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Human kids or dogs?
Human kids. Well, we have four dogs, too.
Four human kids.
But the problem involves the four little kids. Now, this was several years ago, and they're adjusting and doing real well, but they're real busy, active little kids.
Aren't they, though? How old are these little brats?
How old are these wonderful children?
These wonderful... I'm sorry. Did something else slip out?
Well, they are currently 10, 9, 8, and 6.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's a package.
How much Prozac do you take a day?
Well, let's not talk about that.
Oh, man. 10, 9, 8. It must be like a three-ring circus in your house.
Yes.
Four.
Yes.
Four-ring circus.
Man. Oh, but my sister says it's more like the Army, and we're more like drill sergeants.
Oh, you'd have to be.
Yeah.
Wow.
Two boys and two girls?
If that's it.
Yeah.
That's it. And, you know, these are busy little kids.
Oh, you ain't kidding.
They like to dismantle things. And
oh.
I got this brilliant idea of getting an old car for them.
Oh, man.
And that's where you came in. And I was
Charlotte.
Thinking, am I not a good idea?
You're crazy. It's a good, well, let's explore it, though. I mean, it might have some potential.
Well, this is our thinking, that, you know, they could play driving on the inside, and we would disable it so that they couldn't get it to roll because our property's on a slant. And
oh. What's the matter with a jungle gym?
Well, I mean, because they can't take that apart. Well, these kids evidently have the exploratory nature. And they want
do.
To take stuff apart.
They do.
The only thing that concerns me about your idea, I think it's a great idea, but a car is dangerous.
Well, yeah. And, you know, I don't want engine parts falling on them.
Right.
No, I mean, I have to advise against the car because there are fluids and greases. I mean, you'd never be able to clean out all the stuff that you needed to clean out. There are sharp things. There are heavy things, which once you move, could fall on delicate, crushable little fingers.
Yeah.
And I know. I mean, I've been doing it for 26 years, and things fall on my delicate, crushable little fingers all the time, and I'm careful.
I'm just wondering if there's some way that we could, like, what if you removed all the doors? That way you wouldn't get any fingers smashed in the doors.
Yeah. Oh, that's an
interesting idea. But it's only a matter of time before they decide to remove the alternator. And then and the alternator drops on somebody's fingers. And
if only we could take the fun element.
Do you plan to let them back into the house at night, or are they going to have to live in the car?
Well, it might depend on how greasy they were.
Yeah. Well, that's the other thing, too. Your laundry is going to suffer tremendously.
I see it, Charlotte. You have invented the newest new product, the click-and-clack take-apart car.
That's it.
Isn't it?
Oh,
right, that is it.
Could be made out of materials.
Space-age materials.
Space-age materials that wouldn't be harmful to kids. You could take it all apart, put it all back together again. We could sell our own line of craftsperson tools.
Yeah, and old clothes.
And old clothes. And then we could branch out into dishwashing and clothes washing compounds.
Right, the jumpsuits.
The jumpsuits. Charlotte.
They have the toolkit.
You're a ticket out of this dump.
Well, maybe you should call me when you
We'll have our people call your people.
We might want to use your 10, 9, 8, and 6-year-old kids as product testers.
Oh, they would love it.
We'll have the prototype up and running in 2 weeks.
I
think you're going to have to wait until we have our product on the market because I don't think I want to recommend that you let your kids play with a real car, unfortunately.
Well,
so
I
tell
think
me,
you're right.
But have the four kids really put some new spice into the life of you and your husband?
Oh, I'll tell you what. More spice than I can handle.
Good for you. Good for you.
Well, you've done a noble thing, obviously.
Yeah, but you've got some crazy ideas, Charlotte. You're going to have to see a
doctor. It's obvious that the four of these kids are driving you nuts. So do whatever you can to save yourself.
Increase your dosage, and we'll call you in the morning.
All right, I'll wait for the prototype.
Okay.
See ya.
Thanks so much.
Bye. Well, it wasn't really a bad idea.
No.
It was just stupid. A bad idea.
All right, it's time to take a short break.
Yeah, and when we get back, you're going to regale us with the new puzzler?
You like that word, regale, huh?
Well, I think regale sounds nicer than something like, my brother will bore us with a brand new puzzler.
You do have a point there.
We'll be back with more of your calls and my brother's fascinating new puzzler. You want to hear my alternative to fascinating?
No, not really. stay tuned. We'll be right back.
If I drive south or I go north, takes all my courage just to venture forth. I cut the route 32, route 32 blues. Potholes, they're everywhere. I can't get from here to there. No, it's not safe to drive into town.
And even though the NPR exterminator introduces a pack of hungry termites to the beams below our studio whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR.
Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and, of course, the new Puzzler.
I can hardly wait.
Well, this is non-automotive.
I have to say, I've been disappointed. Your Puzzlers have been good lately.
Oh, we'll put an end to that right now.
I had no opportunity to use the bogus terminology.
Yeah, I will confess, they have been a little better than average.
They have. I mean, even the answers. That means the Puzzlers and the answers have been good.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good.
It's pretty good.
Yeah. Well, everyone gets lucky once in a while.
Okay, let's see what happens today. Go ahead.
All right. Now, this is historic and folkloric and all that jazz.
Yeah.
Jimmy was born at the exact midpoint of the century and died before the new century began. He was a teenager when Johnson was sworn in as President of the United States right after the assassination.
Yeah.
He was born in the same house that he died in, though he died in a different state than the one he was born in.
Mm-hmm.
The house was not moved, and in fact was in the exact same location for the entire century. The puzzle is this. Where was he born? And where did he die?
And I got it! I got it! I got it! RV heaven! He's in RV heaven now! Hey, that's good. That's a good one. I'm working on it. I've almost got it.
You may think so. Anyway, if you think you have the answer.
Yes.
Even if you know you're way off.
Write
it on a postcard or on the back of a $21 bill and send it to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238.
Or you can email us your answer from cartalk.com.
But call us right now if you have a car question. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-2278-255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, how are you? This is Rob in St. Thomas.
Rob?
St. Thomas, Virgin Islands.
Yeah, we know where it is. Don't rub it in. Is it 86 degrees there?
It always is 86 degrees. Sometimes it drops down to about 81, but yes, it's always warm.
Yeah.
I've been to St. Thomas several times. It is one of the most lovely places to be.
It's a fun place. I've been here since 97.
No kidding. What made you go down there?
A spirit of adventure. I was living in Key West for 7 years.
Well, that was real stressful. So you had to get out of there. Couldn't take it, huh?
I got to move. Then decided to explore the Caribbean, and my wife and I jumped on our schooner. We have a schooner that we had in Chicago and brought it down from Chicago to Key West and then sailed to St. Thomas in 97.
How do you get from Chicago to Key West?
You ready?
Yeah.
You go the river system.
The river system, and you go out to the Atlantic.
Yeah, it's the Chicago River to the Illinois River to the Mississippi River, up the Ohio River, down the Tennessee, to the end of the Tom Bigby, Black Warrior River, and you end up in Mobile. And then you sail across the Gulf of Mexico until your insurance runs out. My insurance said I couldn't be in any ocean, so there we were in Key West for 7 years.
With no insurance, but you were there.
Well, we had insurance because we were still in the Gulf of Mexico.
How far is it from Key West to St. Thomas?
Can't be pretty far.
It took us about 6 months. I don't know. You know, we went very slowly, and we stopped and spent a couple of months in
Manila.
In Bahamas and Luperon in the Dominican Republic. That's a real popular spot for boaters.
So yeah. let me get and, this right. You don't work, do you, Rob?
No, I'm a domestic violence attorney here in St. Thomas. I work very hard.
But when you were at sea for those months there, sailing from, where were you, Key West to Luzon to eventually St. Thomas, you weren't working then.
I did a little writing, and so I had some old cases, and I still have ways of working just by doing research.
I was just curious. I mean, were there checks coming in? They would meet you at the port with the
mind
money.
Your own business.
I'm just curious.
The guy who hired me asked me the same question, and he didn't believe my answer. He didn't really live off the land for not much.
You weren't on the land.
it's an expression.
Oh, all right. All right, well, let's get to your question. Come on, the clock is ticking. We're running out of time here, man.
Okay. Well, here's one way to live cheap. You buy old cars and keep them.
Yeah.
It's an 88 Mazda B2200 pickup.
You know it well.
The problem that I have with it is that when it's parked on an incline and you start it up, it smokes horrendously.
Facing up the hill or down?
I think it's almost always facing up.
How long does it last? A minute?
I'd say about, it gradually goes away, and I'd say it probably lasts 3-4 minutes.
Huh.
Is the smoke blue, black, white?
Bluish black.
Bluish.
Yeah.
Black.
Kind of like, you know how the ocean is when you're crossing the Mona Passage?
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, that's kind of like that. When it's got the,
yeah, I'm right on it.
Well, you're burning oil.
Yeah, I think so. And I think what's wrong with it is you have worn out valve guide seals. And when you're parked on a hill, oil is pooling in that area where the, you know, ordinarily would be draining down back into the crankcase.
And okay. It's not, because it's piling up at the end of the head.
Of the cylinder head, exactly. And then until that oil burns off, you know, you're going to get this smoking. Now, you could, if you were interested, take the valve cover off and have somebody take the camshaft out and replace the valve guide seals.
Uh-huh.
But I hardly think it's worth fixing unless, in fact, your oil consumption is huge.
No, it's not bad. It's a couple of quarts a month.
Yeah, try to find a flat place to park, like maybe in the living room. But I wouldn't be worried about it. You're in the Caribbean. The sun is shining. All's right with the world.
I'm not worried about it. I just want an excuse to talk to you guys. I was just curious why it would happen on an incline only.
Yeah. No, I think that's what it is. But don't worry. Be happy.
Okay, you too.
See you, Rob.
Okay, bye-bye.
Hey,
we will. Don't worry.
Thanks for calling.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hey, do you know what time it is now?
Time to check the batteries and our heated coveralls?
No. It's time to play Stump the Chumps! This is the part of the show where we dig up a caller from a previous show to see if they followed our advice.
Oh, and how badly it turned out. Dig up. You know, I don't like that. So who's our contestant this week, Johnny?
It's Brian from Watertown, Massachusetts. Do you remember Brian?
Oh, Brian from Watertown, the next town over. Yeah, it was right next to Cambridge. No, I don't have any idea who he is.
Well, Brian called us a few months ago because his 89 Camry wasn't downshifting. It felt like he was starting off in third gear.
Has anyone ever, changed the transmission fluid in the filter?
No.
I mean, it's only been 15 years.
Well, it hasn't been my car the entire time, so someone else may have.
Well, that would be the first thing I'd do.
Well, the other thing you could do, lots of shops have these machines now that you can hook your transmission up to, and it costs $100 or so to do this, and you change all the fluid and put all fresh stuff in there. And at the same time, it pretty much cleans that filter as well.
It sounds like I would definitely want to take the $100 option.
Then. Yeah, now, yeah. I'll tell you that you may do this and the car may never move again. No.
What kind of advice
is
this?
We always have this disclaimer. We have the same machine.
It's like a doctor saying we're going to do this operation, but of course you may not live through it.
Hey, they make you sign the thing, don't they?
That's right.
They always do that. That's exactly what they say. And they always do it after they've given you the first round of anesthesia, so you can't say, you can't ask any questions.
Maybe we should give our customers anesthesia right before they get the bill.
Yeah, we should. What did we finally tell Brian anyway?
You mean after we told him we know nothing about automatic transmissions? We told him to try the $100 power flush first, and if that didn't work, start saving for a new tranny.
Let's see how we did. Brian, are you there?
Yes, I am.
All right, Brian, look, before we find out what happened, confirm for our listeners today that we have not spoken since your last appearance on Car Talk. Is that true?
Yes, it's true.
And that the answer you're about to give here on Stump the Chumps has not been influenced by our staff, the staff of NPR, or by the warrants for AMCO stock that we sent you.
So help you God.
I do indeed.
So did you try the power flush?
No.
You didn't?
No, I did
Why,
not.
Why, did the car fix itself?
Well, I called a well-known national transmission chain that happens to be in my neighborhood.
Start with A?
I'll just say beep, beep, okay?
Oh, okay.
I told them what you recommended about the power flush.
Uh-huh.
And
they said, don't do that.
Don't do
exactly
that.
Right.
It may never move again.
They said, how many miles are on the car? And when I told them, they said, over 100,000 miles, we don't like to do the power flush because the stuff that's floating around in your transmission fluid is keeping the gears tight.
Okay.
What it turned out to be was solenoids. They replaced some solenoids in the transmission. And
wow.
Now, once upon a time, I was an electromechanical technician, so I know what a solenoid is and what it does,
yeah,
but I don't know what these specific solenoids do.
Oh, they actually shift the gears.
Uh-huh.
And they actually drop the pan down, replace the solenoids, and how much did this cost you?
It was under $300.
What a deal.
What a deal is right.
And now I'm driving in style.
It's a good thing you didn't take our advice about that power flush.
And a good thing that you hedged your bet.
Thanks for playing Stump the Chumps, Brian.
Thanks for letting me, guys.
See you later.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
That's great. If you hear someone you'd like us to bring back for Stump the Chumps, email us your suggestion from cartalk.com.
Or as you can tell by now, you can call and stump us right here and now. You don't have to... You don't have to wait. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Linda from Millburn, New Jersey.
Hi, Linda.
Linda, Millburn?
Millburn.
What's going on,
gotcha.
Linda?
Well, I moved down here about a year ago from Connecticut. I'm a grandmother, and I came down to take care of my two grandsons while my daughter and son-in-law go into work every day.
Oh.
And my own car is a 98 Forester Subaru.
Okay.
And I have no problems with that car. But when I'm driving the kids around, I'm using my daughter's Sienna van.
Yeah.
And the problem is I'm peeling rubber. And if my son-in-law finds out about this, I'm going to be in big trouble.
Really?
So, I mean, I can pull up to a stoplight that I pull up to in my Forester and pull away, and nothing happens. But when I pull up the same stoplight in the van and pull away, I'm making this terrible screeching noise, and I can feel the back wheels do that little sort of stutter step. And my grandson says from the back seat, "Grandma, you're not supposed to be doing that." And I'm going to tell Daddy.
Oh, little ingrate,
little brat.
I'm going to start bribing him.
Now, when you try to step on the... How many miles are on the Sienna, by the way?
Well, maybe 5,000.
Are they're both automatic transmissions, the Forester and the Sienna?
And the Sienna's an all-wheel drive?
Well, I don't know.
Well, you say you hear the back wheel squealing?
Yeah, the back wheel squeal.
It would have to be all-wheel drive, I would think, unless you're not releasing the emergency brake or some such thing. But
I mean, the little light is off.
And it, once you're moving, it's all right.
Yeah,
you feel comfortable behind the wheel once you're...
Uh-huh.
And
yeah,
how many times have you driven it? Like dozens?
Oh, yeah, I drive it every day. I've tried, pulling away very, very slowly.
Yeah.
But the trouble with that is this is New Jersey, and you can't do anything slow. And so everybody honks at you and makes rude hand gestures.
Well, let them.
And then I have to tell my grandson, why are those people waving at us in that funny way?
do you get the feeling that when you step on the gas that...
It feels like the back wheels are stuttering is all I can say.
But they're not screeching like... You remember, you're old enough to remember guys peeling out and leaving rubber.
That's exactly what it sounds like.
It sounds like that.
Yes.
Jeez.
And does it go straight ahead?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Have you mentioned this to your daughter?
No, my God.
Well,
it may happen to her, too.
So, like, it's genetic if I do it?
It might be genetic.
but also, you could have a, I mean, it's unlikely that anything is broken on it.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's more likely that it's something you're doing. But you need to find out if first of all, here's one thing you could do. You could go to the dealer and ask to drive one.
Okay.
Or take a ride with you and say, what am I doing something wrong?
Oh, they would be good.
But
they
don't bring
good.
Those little brats with you. Because they're going to squeal on you.
Yes,
exactly. Grandma took the thing to the dealer. Yeah, so you have to...
she was wrecking your car, Mommy.
Well, that's what I'm afraid of.
Yeah, no, I don't think you're wrecking it, but it may be that, if it has a very weak return spring on the throttle, in fact, you could be stepping on the gas pedal and not knowing how hard you're pushing on it because it's different from your car.
Yeah,
there may be something wrong with it. And if there is, it can't be just you that's doing it. So I think you have to, what you need to do? drive someplace with your daughter and have her drive.
Oh, okay.
And see if, in fact,
it happens to her.
And you don't have to tell her anything.
Right.
Just make go to the movies and say, why don't you drive, hon?
Okay.
Yeah.
And if she doesn't do it.
Then I know it's me.
This isn't happening under unusual conditions like, you know, damp roads early in the morning when there's, you know,
It has happened then, but it also happens when the roads are absolutely dry.
Yeah. I mean, there could be something wrong with it, or it could be you. My money's on you.
Gee, thanks.
My money is on the car.
Okay, thank you.
See you, Linda.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, it's happened again. You've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David, the Cavs of Belleville Green, Carly High Voltage Knicks, and Catherine Frau Blucher, Fenolosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Pritchard. Our engineer is John Carton Parati, and our theme music is by David Dog Grisman. Our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Zanzibar Caviar Steak Tartare, Vichy Soise, Malamar Power Bar, and Cheap Cigar Dinner Car, Come As You Are, is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Hey, Would You Buzz Off. Our anger management counselor is Tara. Oh, no. Our Russian chauffeur is Peekoff and Dropoff. Our mother-in-law liaison is Stella Payne Diaz, who's married to our father-in-law liaison, Royal Payne Diaz, who are the proud parents of a teenage daughter, Sasha Payne Diaz, and a brother in the military, Major Payne Diaz, and a two-year-old, Ariel Payne Diaz, and they have a dog, Toto Payne Diaz, and a distant cousin in Mexico City, Jaime Royal Payne Diaz, and a recently discovered uncle from Warsaw, Zbigniew. And the head of our Working Mother Support Group, of course, is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the out-of-work philosopher kings in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and above all, don't drive like my brother.
And below all, don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week, we hope. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1244, download classic Car Talk episodes, or check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com.
Also this week at cartalk.com, vote for your all-time favorite bumper sticker.
Yeah, last week we asked you to tell us your favorite non-political bumper stickers.
Yeah.
And we got thousands of suggestions, cautionary ones like, keep back, my lawyer's in the trunk, self-congratulatory ones like, my child is inmate of the month, and all-time classics such as, I would kill for a Nobel Peace Prize.
We've picked our 10 favorites.
So now you can go to cartalk.com and vote for the one that you like the best. And like in Chicago, you can do what?
Vote as often as you want.
The winner will be announced on Tuesday, and polls are now open at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though Apple comes out with a smaller version of the iPad speakers whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.